Good morning. I know that everyone's got a lot of activities that have to take place this afternoon with Hurricane Matthew coming, but thanks for being here. We just wanted to talk a little bit about the season and have a season wrap-up and what I would call a normal season wrap-up, but not a very normal season at all in almost any way. When we started this season, we had bringing in Donnie. The purpose was to have calmness and continuity, and the purpose was to have leadership in the clubhouse and have that leadership translate on the field. And as the season progressed, it was our opinion that everything that we had hoped for when we introduced Donnie in this very room is exactly what was happening. And the progress that was made is something that we will think about as it relates to 2016. But it's impossible to sit here and wrap up the season and not talk about Jose and not talk about the reality of what it means, both on and off the field. And I want to just, on behalf of Jeffrey Loria and Mike and Donnie and all of the staff and every player, just want to talk to the people of South Florida and around the world. The outpouring about Jose, really to think about the meaning of his life. We just had not really focused beforehand, unfortunately, on the impact that he had in Miami and around the community and in Cuba and everywhere else. And the outpouring of support, the letters, the phone calls, the sense of loss that everyone has is real. And it's still very surreal. And when the team left on Sunday and went separate ways, the hugs felt different. People talked different. The feeling of camaraderie felt different. The feeling of love within the team just felt different. And I just wanted to tell this community that we meant what we said in that last week. The support that everyone gave to a very dreadful week will never be forgotten, just like Jose will never be forgotten, nor will his family. So when talking about the 2016 season, obviously that is a big part of it. But I want to just mention before I hand it over to Mike that when you have leadership, you never know how leadership is going to act during the course of baseball season. And a lot of things come up on and off the field, things you don't expect, things you can't possibly prepare for, things that you can't imagine that could ever happen in reality. And those things happened all throughout 2016, from the first day until the last day. And the leadership that we have with Mike and with Donnie is something that we've been searching for a lot of years around here. And to the fans we have and to the people who have properly recognized the lack of continuity, what we have at this table is good for Miami, it's good for the Marlins, it's good for South Florida, because all we've ever wanted to do was to repeat what we were able to do in 97 and 03 as a franchise. All you want to do is have the chance to win. And it's been too many years since we've been in the playoffs, and our fans deserve that, and especially after a kick in the gut like what happened with Jose and all of the support that we've gotten, our fans deserve it, our organization deserves it, and we're going to work this offseason every day. I promise everyone that we're going to work to give our community that chance to celebrate something. Because we've seen what it's like not to celebrate, and now we'd like to see what it's like to celebrate. Thank you.
Well, thank you, David. I don't think he could have said it any more perfectly. you know, this is our annual end of season wrap up, but by no means is 2016 a normal season for us. And you rewind and, you know, not to repeat what David said, but just rewind to when we started the season and what our expectations were and what we thought of the talent in that clubhouse. And there were a lot of positives for 2016. As you got through the end of July and this team was 9 games over 500 and playing in October was a reality for us. And we'll get into, you know, probably talk and discuss, you know, where we came up short from a team standpoint, but obviously everything changed when we got that phone call about Jose. And as we sit here today, you know, we know that we do have, you know, a challenge ahead of us and what we need to do. And David, as David said, we're going to work tirelessly to bring a championship to South Florida, because that's what this community deserves. And with that being said, you know, we ended the season in Washington, you know, 79 wins, obviously not what we anticipated as we reported to Jupiter. And now it's time to get to work and to start the process of getting us where we want to go. And, you know, we do like the core position players that we have in place. And as you guys saw from the release, we are proud to announce that we've extended Martin Prado on a 3-year contract for the next 3 years. So Martin will be back as a big piece of that core. We've also exercised the option for Ichiro Suzuki, and technically we added on another option year. So technically the right terminology is his 2017 contract is guaranteed, and we have another option for 2018. So we have another valuable piece of our core that is coming back that we believe will bring a championship to South Florida. From the coaching standpoint, we did replace Barry Bonds. Well, we relieved Barry Bonds of his duties as hitting coach. We also relieved Lenny Harris of his duties as third base coach, and Reed Cornelius as bullpen coach. When we have those replacements in place, we'll have, you know, a full announcement of our coaching staff. And really, at this point, now the real work begins, and we'll start the process of reevaluating where we came up short in 2016 and what we feel necessary to get us where we want to go for 2017 and beyond.
Anything non-direct or just questions?
Questions? It was a good start with Prado. You know, you kind of addressed him all year, Donnie. Just the importance of him and, you know, his role and all he's done for this team.
Yeah, I know we're extremely excited that Martin is going to be back. It puts another, you know, solid foundation block with the foundation that we already have with Christian, with Giancarlo, with Arimudo, D. Gordon, and I can kind of keep naming names with that foundation, that core group of players. And Martin has showed this year his leadership as far as being a glue within that clubhouse. You know, during everything that happened at the end of the season, we obviously seen Martin's leadership. And I think it's a huge step for us to continue moving forward, to be able to re-sign Martin.
Clark?
Given what is universally considered to be kind of a weak free agent pitching market and your role's kind of limited payroll, how do you go about, I know you're not going to replace Jose, but how do you go about trying to address that?
We're going to give Mike a payroll, which we have not done yet, and Mike's going to work with his guys the way he always does. There's no replacing Jose. It's a matter of trying to figure out how to get more wins out of the team, whatever direction they do. So it's really it'll be the same type of offseason in that way, and then Mike gets a number and then meets with his people, presents a plan, and then goes and executes it. Yes.
And just to piggyback that, Clark, you know, we starting depth, you know, you never have enough of it. But there's different ways attack that issue, and you know, this year we tried to, you know, build from a strength, and that was our bullpen, and keep that as strong as possible. And you know, you're never going to replace Jose, but you know, our guys will put our heads together to give ourselves every opportunity to win ball games, which is the ultimate goal.
David, you said there was a lot of good leadership change in the clubhouse. Can you give some examples of what changed in the good from the previous year?
Well, I think that if you look at 15, I think there were so many distractions. You know, obviously with some of the changes we made, we had a few self-inflicted injuries in 2015, and it just led to a sideways move, if not a backwards move. And in 2016, when we brought in Donnie, we made a commitment as an organization that we were looking for that sort of stability, and we thought Donnie would provide it, and it just worked. So in terms of what happened within the clubhouse, I think it's fair to say, you talk about a Prado, the report I would get from Donnie and from Mike is, this is a guy that we don't want to leave as a free agent. With the leadership he has and the maturity of other players. You saw the way Giancarlo, you know, stepped up even through a little bit of non-performance in the beginning of the season and through an injury. He worked his way back after the groin injury, which was, you know, in 2015 he was hurt. It was hard for him to come back at all. In 2016, it was a different feel, you know, so that's a leader right there. So, you know, it's just the different reports we got from Donnie. I spent a lot of time in 15 fielding issues, clubhouse-related issues, and in this year, I can tell you that I didn't have one conversation with Mike or Donnie, literally not one conversation. They never came to me about anything clubhouse-related that needed any sort of work from the front office. I can't remember one. Can you? Literally. That's a first for us.
Our guys are maturing, and we talk so much about the core. For you guys who were with us all year, that core is real, and those guys are championship caliber players, and the growth that they had this year contributed to it, along with, you know, the Prados of the world. So from that standpoint, under Donnie's leadership, there was a better feel when you stepped into that clubhouse, and a feel of unity, of camaraderie, of brotherhood. That I think is important on championship caliber teams.
With Ichiro, it almost sounds like getting another option year. Do you kind of want to keep him as a Marlin until he's done playing? Is that kind of where this is going?
You know, he's so productive for us on and off the field. Donnie can talk to his leadership and what it means. You know, Donnie has been around a lot of Hall of Fame players in his career, both as manager, coach, and player, and I think Donnie would be better served to speak about that, and I'd like you to. From my standpoint, Ichiro has been, when Jeffrey first approached the thought of Ichiro and went to his baseball people, I don't think any of us could have pictured how well it's been and how well it's worked out having him in Miami. Having him around every day is an honor, and it is something that none of us take for granted. That is for sure. And the reason for the option for 18, he wants to play till he's 50, and he's told me that, and he's serious. And each year that passes, he's getting closer to 50. I think he actually is 42. I think he probably will play till he's 50. And that seems fine by us, because when Donnie calls his name, at least from my standpoint upstairs, when you want him to start, he starts. When you want him to pinch hit, he pinch hits. He's prepared for anything you've ever asked of him. He doesn't once complain that I've ever heard. He's ready to work, ready to play, and on top of that, he's productive. And the 3,000th hit this year was not the culmination of a career, because that was never his goal, and he told you that. It was just another moment, but I think he's ready for more moments, so we wanted to get an option on him for 2018. And you never know. After that, we'll worry about 2019.
Yeah, with each, the thing that David said is productive. And so let's dump the age, dump all that kind of talk, because with each, you get a guy that plays all three outfield positions, plays them well, still throws well, still runs well, is productive off the bench, always prepared. So I think I alluded to it maybe the last day in D.C. You know, what we got from each this year, as an extra outfielder,
any team in baseball would like that. You know, a guy that's basically hitting 300, that does all the things that he's capable of doing. So I just really, as the season went on, didn't really want to talk about his age, just talk about what this guy brought to the club. And he protects you in a lot of situations. You know, I don't think we look at each as going to play 140 games or anything like that anymore, but he had over 300 at bats this year and was really productive. So in going into the season, I didn't necessarily know what we were going to get, didn't know how I was going to play him. If everyone would have stayed healthy, it really seemed like it would have been a lesser role. But obviously things happened in the course of the season, and each was there to pick us up in a lot of those situations.
What will you be looking for in a hitting coach, and what are you hoping to see change next year in relation to the offense?
Well, we'll just try to get the best guy in for the situation.
Kind of what happened, the reason behind Barry's?
I don't need to get into the reasons, really, with anything with Barry. I feel like anytime you talk about coaches and letting someone go, those are not easy things to talk about because, you know, different guys, you talk about Reed and Lenny and Barry, those are not easy conversations to have. And I think it's something that we just felt like we want to go in a different direction as an organization.
Is he having two people with hitting? Obviously, Frankie.
I think the hitting job is definitely a two-person job. There's so much that goes on now with those positions. That it's definitely a two-man job.
Does anyone talk about the core? I mean, because then there's always thought, you know, with obviously with the Jose and where, what direction does this take you? But and you probably won't keep everyone, but just the core and why would this core build on this core?
Well, I felt this way. We felt this way coming into 2016. These guys are ready to win. And, you know, we brought the right man in to lead these men, and now it's just a matter of getting over the hump. And they play meaningful games, you know, late into the season. And I still firmly believe that they are ready to bring a championship to South Florida. There's no more talent anywhere in the National League. You know, you look across, you look at Christian Yelich and Ozuna and Stanton and Bohr and Realmuto and Prado and Ed. I mean, there's talent. No one wanted to play us, and everyone recognizes the talent that we have in that clubhouse. But with everything, there's growth, there's development, there's adjustments, and there's steps, you know, to becoming a champion and to being a championship caliber player. And our guys have taken those steps, and I firmly believe that they're in the position to do that. And that's why I'm confident, and I can't speak for Donnie, but I would think he feels the same way, that these guys are ready to do that. And that's why, you know, we feel confident with where we're at with those guys.
Again, going back to the pitching, and what few options are out there, would you consider giving up or trading a four-piece to acquire pitching?
I think we're going to have to look at everything, Clark. I think that's a fair question. But I think the fairest answer is we'll have to look at everything. We know what our goal is. We know it's not going to be easy. We know what the marketplace is, free agent-wise, and you know, we'll have a better feel for what the trade market is. But, you know, I think as you whenever you enter an off-season, you have to enter it with an open mind and keep every option on the table.
Mike, just your thoughts on starting pitchers you have coming back with Conley and Chen. Are you hopeful that we'll see the Baltimore from Chen rather than the guy who's uneven here and Kohler? Just thoughts on that group coming back.
I think Adam Conley and Donnie can speak to this as well. I think Adam Conley made the strides that we expected to see him make. This is a front of the rotation talent. Obviously, he's still being finished off, but happy with the growth that he took in 2016. I think the end of the season for Chen, you saw a healthy Chen. We saw a pitcher closer to the one we saw in Baltimore, where the life and the finish to his pitches was what we anticipated. TK is a horse, and he's provided exactly what we've expected to get from him, but I think you saw growth in him. There was a stretch when we were playing really well where you could arguably say he was our best pitcher, where his pitch mix had improved, and you saw a guy who, you know, who used all of his pitches and was effective to both sides of the plate and did a good job for us. And beyond, you know, those three guys, there's interesting young pieces that obviously have to get better and have to do more to help us moving forward. But as I said, we never have enough depth, and we'll continue to try to build it as best we can.
So hard to predict, obviously, when young pitchers will be ready. But do you have a sense of when Castillo might become a factor to compete for a rotation spot?
Luis Castillo, our minor league pitcher of the year, along with Dylan Peters, who they both had tremendous years at high A and touch double A, both middle of the rotation prospects. You never know when they, you know, when their exact timeline will be, but whenever a pitcher gets to double A, you have to consider them as a potential option. You know, obviously there's still more development that needs to come with those guys, but we're happy with the growth that they made in 2016. Donnie, do you want to add anything on AC or?
Well, just echoing what Mike said, Adam's a guy early in the year we, you know, just loved everything about him as far as his attitude, his approach, his mindset to getting better every day. It really fits in exactly what this team needs. I feel the same thing about Wayne. I feel like next year is a better year for him from the standpoint of knowing the league, knowing his teammates, you know, us knowing him a little better, knowing when to pull the trigger with him and seeing how his games go. So for me, making some better decisions with him. I agree with Mike on Tom, kind of as advertised as far as a guy that's durable, that goes out there every time. And there was a period in that second half of the season that, I mean, he was on some kind of roll and a guy that you felt like every time you went out there, he was going to win. So those are they're guys that we're confident with. I think each guy, as we spoke with our team at the end of the season, is, and then the way we compete and within our market is to incrementally get better. You know, our core players, even though we love them and we think they're ready to win, that doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement and that we can't get better. And if each of our guys can incrementally continue to improve, then we take another nick out of this. And I think an area, as Mike talks, and it's again, it's for our meetings and how do we build the club. You know, when you like your core, you know you have that core. And I think an area for us would be depth. Can we build depth around these guys? Can our system continue to improve to have guys ready to fill in during injuries? And can we make incremental moves where our depth is better and we're more, you know, better prepared to sustain more injuries, a JV being out for long periods of time, a Giancarlo being out, or whoever it would be, are we going to be able to sustain that? And those are areas that are probably not glamorous moves. They're moves that are bread and butter that Mike and all the guys in development and our pro scouting or searching and scouring, you know, who are these guys for us that fit us? And that's how we get better and are better able to sustain, you know, injuries and things that are going to happen to every team, but we'd be better equipped to handle those types of things.
Mike, do you think next year's closer is on this roster right now?
We got a few of them. I think if you look at our system, our organization, a strength would be our bullpen arms and the power that we have and the depth that we have. So the short answer, yes, I do believe that our closer is in that group.
Michael, the organization, and you're tapping more to analytics, do you see Jason having more of a department, or how much you see you relying and even going more into analytics?
It was nice to have him. It'll be nice to have him for a full offseason. Jason Paré, our senior director of analytics, we didn't bring on board till around the new year, but we've already felt his impact with what he's been able to do for Donnie and his staff over the course of the year, and the various waiver claims and things where his imprint, his department's imprint is there. It would be nice to have a full off season where we can, you know, fully utilize all that his department brings.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, as we talk about incrementally getting better, the information that Jason provided over the course of the season, and I know when we hit spring training, we had him overwhelmed for what we were asking for. And as the season went on, he was building and building at all times. So I think being able to, as that grows, it's another incremental area of us getting better. And so how do we use that information? You know, a lot like other teams do. I do felt like we were, you know, the hiring of Jason, I didn't know Jason at the time or what we were doing, but felt like we were a little behind the eight ball, to be honest with you, getting into spring training and with the information stuff, and I know we're getting up to speed, and that's I feel like it was an area that we needed.
David, as far as your role goes, aside from the general yes, the increase, do you have any sense of what that might look like?
No, we're looking at the budgets right now, and obviously talking to Jeffrey about the plan. And I think that the end of the season, it required a little distance. We need a week or so to breathe a little bit. So there's no specific number right now. But these guys, the off season has started. You know, when obviously with the signing of Prado, that was. That means that's a part of your team, and you have to look at what your team makeup is and look at what the payroll is, and with Ichiro again. So it started, but there's no specific number yet, but there will be.
Well, let me rephrase it in a general term then. Are the increased payroll will be through natural raises, or are you adding payroll?
Well, it doesn't matter, right? Because we don't look at it the natural raise increase, because it's an increase. And if you have to take a player away because there's a natural increase, your payroll is still going up. So you have to just figure out how to make up your team with the payroll that you have. And that's something, you know, Jeffrey showed that he'd willing to add. He added at the deadline, and when we're in it, we add. When we're not in it, we don't. And we want to go into every season with the chance to win, and we don't want to waste time, because time is a commodity that none of us really has. So we are hopeful that the team that we have, you know, will have the payroll to make the necessary additions or replacements, or however you want to look at it, where the team can improve on its record.
And what about the international market?
We have a player. We have a budget that we give Mike for player acquisition, and then we leave it up to Mike. If there's an international player, I know that Mike came to us several times with bids on international players. We had another guy signed for millions and millions of dollars, and we made offers of tens of millions of dollars to players throughout the course of the season. They didn't work out, even though the offers to me were very competitive, if not compelling. So he has a decision that he makes with his player acquisition budget, and that we leave up to him and Stan Meek and the rest of the guys with whom Mike works. So that's the way we've always operated it. That's up to Mike to decide how he wants to allocate his acquisition budget on the amateur side. If there's no more, I just want to end with, are there any more questions? I want to mention that we compete a lot with other teams on the field, and in some ways we compete off the field for talent. But what happened in the last 8 days was a sign of a fraternity in Major League Baseball that I had not seen in my 17 years in baseball. And I wanted to just mention, the Mets specifically, but I wanted to mention all the teams, because we heard from 29 other teams after Jose's death. And with all the competing that we do, I just wanted to make sure that we publicly mentioned our appreciation, the family's appreciation for what other teams have done and have said they'll continue to do in recognizing the great loss that took place. And too often nobody's thanking the other team, except after a playoff series when you're thanking them for their competition because you just beat them. we're doing this in a different way. There's no playoff series. There's no competition. We're just thanking them for being a part of Major League Baseball and for being there when we needed it most.